Before we hear the last song tonight, we want to just take a moment and thank you so much for sharing a part of your resurrection weekend with all of us here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And I don't know about you, but when I see a depiction of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, I am moved every single time. To think that God loved us in such an amazing and such a sacrificial way. Reminds me of a little boy named Brian who was coming out of the nursery school at church, and he looked tremendously sad and forlorn, and his mom looked at him and said, "Brian, what's wrong with you?" He said, "Mommy, today we learned what they did to Jesus just before Easter." She said, "Really, sport? What was it like? What happened to Jesus?" And he hung his head down and he said, "You don't want to know, Mom. You just don't want to know." You know, truthfully, when you think of who Jesus was and what happened to him, it was, from a human standpoint, the greatest tragedy that ever took place. But from a heavenly standpoint, the greatest blessing that was ever given to us was the forgiveness of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says of this centurion in Matthew 27:54, "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" No one receives salvation, no one receives the forgiveness of their sin by just saying that Jesus is another teacher or another good man or adding Jesus to their religious collection. But when you come to the place of realizing that He is the Son of God and you put your faith in Him, then you have the hope of eternal life, as did this centurion. But I want you to think just for a moment with me about that phrase that I read a moment ago, watching Jesus. When the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus. And imagine what they saw as they watched Jesus that last week in Jerusalem. No doubt they saw the cruelty of the cross. It was preceded by the cruelty of the scourging. No doubt this centurion would have seen that little bone at the last part of the cat of nine tails as it went into the flesh of Jesus Christ and ripped across his back. Time and time again, the centurion saw that. The centurion saw to it that the nails were placed through his hands, through the most sensitive nerve centers of our Lord's body, the nails pierced, his hands and his feet. The centurion saw that. The centurion saw to it that a crown of large thorns was pressed into his brow, and the centurion was there when the spear was thrust through his side. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1 and verse 7 that we have redemption through his blood, even the blood of the cross, which gives us the forgiveness of sin. In short, what the centurion saw on Golgotha's hill that day was the shedding of the blood of the Son of God. And the Bible says that without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission for our sin. There is no covering. There is no way to escape hell without believing on the shed blood of Jesus Christ, covering our sin for all of eternity. The centurion saw what took place in the life of Jesus Christ. He was watching Jesus. And he saw the blood that came down. But as the blood was flowing down, he also saw the compassion of Jesus Christ. For on the cross, one of the seven sayings of Jesus was this saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He saw the compassion that Jesus had. And I believe that every one of us who know the Lord understand that we're not worthy of that compassion. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's the gift of God. And God, in His infinite love and mercy, showed compassion to us that day. Perhaps that's why the Bible says in Luke 23:47, "Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.'" He knew that this was the Son of God. When he watched the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw the suffering of Christ. Not only that, but this centurion saw the signs of God's power that day. He sensed and felt the earthquakes as the earth trembled. He saw the unusual period of darkness from noon to 3 o'clock that afternoon when the Father could no longer look upon His Son because Jesus was now bearing your sin and my sin in His body. The Bible says, "For He, God the Father, hath made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin." Jesus knew no sin. He lived 33 and a half years on this earth, a perfectly sinless life. I can't say that. You can't say that. But Jesus could say it, and Jesus did live that way because as the Son of God, He was perfectly sinless. Tempted in every way as we have been tempted, but He never sinned. And Jesus Christ, as the perfectly sinless Son of God, took our sin upon Himself. I mean every lie and every thought and every dastardly deed that we have ever done, Jesus bore that in His body. And because of that, the sky was blackened. And the centurion felt the earthquake, and the centurion saw the darkness as it came down upon Golgotha's hill. He saw the suffering of Jesus. He saw the signs of God's miraculous power. But I also want you to know this evening that he went beyond just seeing Jesus and seeing the suffering of Jesus and seeing the miracles all around him. But this centurion then finally surrendered to Jesus Christ and believed on Him as his Savior. And I want you to remember this tonight. Salvation is not a process. Salvation is an act of faith in a moment of time when after seeing the truth and hearing the truth and understanding that we are sinners and that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God, when a man or a woman, a boy or a girl puts their faith in Jesus Christ, then at that moment they are born again into the family of God by faith. Matthew 27:4 says this, saying, the centurion speaking, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to it." You see, this centurion came to a place where he said, "I have sinned." And all of us, in order to have salvation, must realize that we are sinners. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I was raised in a pastor's home. I was raised up in a Baptist home. I've been in church all of my life, but I've got to tell you something. Going to church doesn't guarantee that you're ready for heaven, because even though I've been a Baptist and a Christian in the sense of going to church all my life, I am a sinner who needed a Savior. And the Bible says all of us need a Savior. And the centurion figured that out. He said, "I have betrayed innocent blood. I have sinned." You know, the Bible says that God is not willing that anybody should perish. He doesn't want anybody to spend eternity without Him in a Christless hell. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is, a change of heart about who we are and about who God is. And that's what happened to the centurion. He had a change of heart. He said, "You know, I thought I was good. I thought I had authority. I thought I could make my own decisions." And a lot of people are like that. We think we're good. We think we're religious enough. We think we have everything summed up. But without Jesus Christ, we have no real righteousness at all. Because the only righteousness that matters to God the Father is what is found in God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when the centurion looked up to that cross, he saw deity wrapped in humanity. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. And the centurion saw God in flesh hanging on that cross, having been conceived of the Holy Spirit of God, having been born in Bethlehem's manger as the God child, he now hung on the cross as the God man. And when the blood came flowing out, it wasn't just the blood of another man, teacher, or prophet, but the very blood of the Son of God was shed, and the centurion saw it flowing down. And the centurion heard those words, "It is finished." And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for those words tonight. Because religion seems to say over and over again, "Do this, and you'll go to heaven, and join this church, and get baptized this many times, and while you're at it, get baptized for some of your dead relatives, and light some candles, and do this, and attend that, and maybe you might maybe get to heaven someday." But while religion is saying, "Do, do, do," Jesus Christ says, "It is finished, completely paid for." This church and no church in this town and no church in this world can cover your sin. But there is someone who can, and his name is Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says it this way as I close tonight. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, what I deserve, the wage of sin, is separation from God for all of eternity. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And my friend, you don't have to pay to go to heaven. You don't have to earn your way to go to heaven, but you do have to come to a place in your life where you realize, as a sinner, I can't earn my way. So today, by faith, Lord, I call upon you and I ask you to come into my life and be my Savior. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the reception of that gift is something that every one of us have the opportunity to settle even tonight. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the opportunity to do that tonight. And I tell you, the greatest decision we ever make on this planet is to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. You know, I'm so thankful tonight that on April the 5th, 1972, I had the opportunity to hear that I was a sinner falling short of God's glory and grace, and that by faith I could be saved through Jesus Christ. And on that day, I prayed and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Bible says, he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And so I ask you this question tonight. Do you know that you have eternal life? Are you 100% sure tonight that if you died tonight, you would spend eternity with the Lord in heaven? Because the Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. And tonight, if you've never had that moment where you said, Lord, I believe that I'm a sinner, and I want to ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior, you can settle that right here and right now tonight based upon the Word of God. And I want to challenge you tonight to make that decision and not to be ashamed of receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, perhaps there's some in this room tonight and you'd say, Pastor Chapel, there was a time when I was a kid or a teenager or last week when I heard that I was a sinner. Like the centurion, I pondered who Jesus was. I finally got it. He was the Son of God. I put my faith in him. I asked him to forgive my sin. And I believe I'm going to heaven because the blood of Christ has covered my sin. And I've been saved by God's grace and by faith. And I believe there might be some folks in here who've already made that decision. You would say, yes, I am saved. I have accepted Christ as Savior. And I believe if I died today that I would be absent from the body and present with the Lord because I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm not putting my faith in the Baptist church, the Catholic church, the Presbyterian church. My faith is in Jesus Christ alone. And I wonder if you've had that spiritual birth date. You've had a time in your life when you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You called unto the Lord, as Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder if you've had that time, like the centurion, where you saw who Jesus was and you realized why he shed that blood. I wonder how many in this room would say, Pastor Chapel, I've had that day in my life. I have prayed to receive Christ as my Savior. I believe if I died today, I would be absent from the body and present with the Lord. If that's your testimony right now, can you just lift your hand up if that's your testimony? All right, thanks for your honesty. Now, those that didn't raise your hands, thank you for your honesty. I'm delighted that you're here tonight, but I want you to know that you can settle this matter of salvation by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, I want you to think about it very quickly. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And tonight in this room, you can be saved if you in your heart would just simply say to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I confess that to you. Just like the centurion knew that he was a sinner. Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and I believe that you, as the Son of God, died for my sin. And so, Jesus, by faith right now, I ask you to come into my heart, forgive my sin, and be my Savior. Now, right now, if you've never made that decision before, I want to encourage you to do that. And here's what I'd like to do just now. Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't want anyone to feel embarrassed, but I want to pray with you in just a moment. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and maybe you've heard about God, you've been reading about Jesus, your friends have been talking to you about Him, right now, if in your heart you would like to take a moment and by faith accept Christ as your Savior, the Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. And if you didn't raise your hand a minute ago, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And I want you just to take a moment right now and say this, not to me, but to the Lord. And just pray something like this. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that You are the perfect Son of God. And that You died on the cross for my sin. And that You rose again for me. Right now, I ask You to come into my life and forgive my sin and be my personal Savior. Now, if you've never said that before, say it now. Here you go again. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that You are the perfect Son of God and that You died for my sin. And Lord Jesus, I ask You right now to come into my heart to forgive my sin, and to be my Savior. Lord, just now, I believe that there are people who have prayed that prayer of faith. Like the centurion, they have realized who You were and what You did. And I ask You, Lord, to help and bless these who have put their faith in You just now. They're not trusting in their citizenships. They're not trusting in their memberships. They're trusting in You, Lord, to be their Savior. So bless them and help them to grow and draw closer to You every day of their life is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God for the simplicity of the gospel. And I want to ask you this question. If you're in this room right now, and tonight you prayed that prayer that we just said just a moment ago, and you truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to sing a solo. You don't have to come up here to the front. But if you prayed that prayer and you meant that in your heart, I want to challenge you right now. Just stand up right where you are. Just stand all over the auditorium. If you prayed that prayer, don't be embarrassed about it. You said, Pastor Chappell, I prayed the prayer. God bless you. Who else said, I prayed the prayer. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? I'm not ashamed of it. I'm glad that I made that prayer. God bless you. Praise the Lord for that. Anyone else? God bless you over here. That's wonderful. And for those of you that prayed that prayer, we welcome you to the family of God because all of us enter the family of God by way of the cross, not by way of a church, but by way of the cross. If you thought about saying that prayer and didn't, if you said it but didn't want to stand, there's going to be several of us standing in the back in just a moment, pastoral staff and church members. And we're here to help. If you have questions, we just want to encourage you in any way possible. Jump on our website, learn more about the church. Join us tomorrow for a great service at 8:30 or 11. But God bless you and congratulations on putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Let's